And the second important point I want to stress that was unforeseen is that in 483, 482 BC, the Athenians, who always had silver mines at Laurium, which is on the western shore of Attica today, it's very close to Cape Sunion, which most tourists go to see the Temple of Poseidon there, a very rich silver mine was hit, and it was a windfall. We're not sure how much silver was found, but there was so much silver that the assembly of the Athenians wanted to hand out a bonus to every citizen. And Themistocles instead said, no, let us take that money and build the fleet. And the fleet was probably doubled in size in the years immediately before Xerxes' invasion to those 200 triremes. And that proved essential for the defeat of Xerxes. That Athenian fleet of 200 plus the 150 ships of the Peloponnesian League, that was the fleet that opposed the fleet of the Persian king, won the Battle of Salamis, and drove back the invasion. As we'll note, the naval war was all important in defeating Xerxes' invasion in 480 BC. Now, the development of Athens, therefore, was at a very, very opportune time. They had become a democracy. They were under the inspiration of a great political leader, Themistocles, one of the great democratic leaders of all time. About the only shortcoming in him, as even Thucydides must admit, he's a bit venal. He likes taking money on the side. But besides that, he's a great Athenian. Second, of course, was the silver strike. And third is the Athenians put the investment in this fleet at a time where many of the lesser powers, particularly in Ionia, just couldn't keep up with the construction of these new vessels, that they had fleets of penteconters. They didn't have the means and the wealth to get into this type of arms race. And so Athens was able to take the lead handily in the 480s BC and turn herself into a major naval power. Well, what are some of the implications of doing this? I said that Aristotle drew the conclusion that once you shift to this type of fighting with triremes, then you're going to get a democracy. That wasn't quite how it happened in Athens. That is, the democracy was already there. But the development of the democracy to a full participatory democracy with no restrictions on office holding or sitting on the council or taking on any kind of position. If you recall in that lecture last time where I read the funeral oration of Pericles, in the second book of Thucydides' account, we keep no man out of office because of his poverty. That is, a feat technically could aspire to a higher position. That did come out of the Navy. Think about it for a minute. The Athenians had to launch a fleet of 200 vessels. And at the time of the Peloponnesian War, they had 200 triremes and 100 in dry dock. That had major social and political implications. For men to row at that level of skill meant constant practice. And there are arguments as to how the actual rowing system was done. Were they on benches? Are they done more along the lines of crew teams today? And there's a debate that's being waged in the scholarly literature. But the point is, to row a fleet like that, you had to have the physique of a crewman. And if you think of it, it took 34,000 men to man 200 triremes, and all of them look like crew teams. Now, you're not going to keep your lower classes out of political power like that when they're that important to the defense of the state and they're that physically fit. And it's inevitable that the Athenian lower classes would now assert themselves. And by all calculations of the demography of Athens, at least half, if not more, of the Athenian population was classified as thetes, that is, men with property less than 200 medemnoi bushels of wealth, and therefore not eligible to afford the heavy arms of hoplites and certainly not eligible to hold the status as cavalry in the upper classes. Most Greeks, especially in the Persian Wars, in that coalition in 480 BC, most Peloponnesians must have been surprised at the attitudes and the way Athenians carried themselves. Athenians were distinct, and we get this through the literature, especially by a work called the Constitution of the Athenians, written by a fellow, we usually call him the old oligarch. It's an anonymous publication from the 440s BC. He's a hysterical conservative who hates the Athenian democracy. And he repeatedly notes that, you know, thetes and slaves are quite uppity when you meet them in the street. And if you push them aside, you could be prosecuted. What a dreadful situation that aristocrats have to give way to these lower classes. The Athenian citizen body gained a certain confidence about themselves because they rode in the fleet and they were so vital to the state. And that explains why the democracy of Athens evolved into a full participatory democracy by the mid-5th century BC.